Hi, everybody. Cole Jackson here, one of the producers and editors of the Government Name Podcast. And I just want to give you a quick note before we get into the actual show. We recorded this before the J. Cole apology came out. That's right. We were so far ahead of the curve that we knew what was going to happen before it happened, and then we recorded it. So with that being said, the conversation that we have about J. Cole in this episode is before the apology. Just wanted to give you guys a little bit of a clarification because we didn't want you guys to get confused on us knowing what was going to happen before it happened, if that makes sense. So please enjoy this part of the enjoy the show, and we'll catch you guys next week. Checks and balances and social commentary. My name is Cole Jackson.
Shogun here.
What's happening?
What's going on, my DEI?
I'm not using that. I feel like we, again, here we go. Another racist topic that has to be talked about by black folks to get the rest of America to understand that I'm tired of being used as a pawn. Hey, it's not my fault that you guys have a system that doesn't incorporate everybody else, but we have to force the system to change. And then when you have that change, you're like, well, this is the problem. Look at these people. They don't deserve to be here. Anyway, welcome back to the one and only Government Name Podcast show. I'm Cole here, ready to talk about these dumbass people and these dumbass topics. How you been, Cole?
Abracadabra, my DEI. I might as well play into it as much as possible.
What has gotten you on the DEI kick?
Oh, it's funny. It's just real funny, man. I just seen it, and I was like, that was the whole. I mean, I was a week late with the joke, but
yeah,
it was all over Twitter, man, and it was just hilarious to see people calling each other DEI. This is my DEI instead of my nigga, like my DEI, man. Yep. That DEI is crazy. So
I've been trying to prepare us for these situations and these topics. The conversations that I've been having have been a year plus ahead of the mainstream conversation. And I'm tired. Yeah, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. Y'all niggas don't listen and y'all don't care. But then when it becomes national news, it's like, oh, this is the go. What the fuck, y'all. Y'all don't want to hear it. Now they're like, oh, look at them. They only employ them because it's black people doing these things. I said a long time ago, extreme wokeism looks like racism. And now people are like, yeah, it's kind of fucked up that we're doing these things. Mm. Just hire niggas.
You should go on a rant like Amanda Seales did.
The fuck? No. Me and Amanda could never do this.
That was the funniest rant ever about nothing.
It's an Amanda Seales rant.
Did you see it?
No. Oh. But I can sum it up. White people bad.
No.
Well, okay. How did it go?
Black people bad. This lady from the Grigio wrote a column about Amanda Seales. The theme of the article was Amanda Seales is a victim of her own hubris. So I seen that, and I was like, I want to read this.
Yeah, so it's a chance for me to shit on Amanda Seales.
No. I just wanted to read it because she popped up on her Instagram ranting about it. Why don't my people love me? I love us, and you want to talk bad about me because I love us? I'm one of the only people who love black people and all this other bullshit.
Nah.
So I went to go read the article because she was ranting and raving, and she did an IG live about like how her own people don't fuck with her and all this other bullshit because she had three quote-unquote hit pieces about her. The article that I read basically said, hey, Amanda Seales, reevaluate things and think again before you start speaking. She said sometimes you are loud and wrong and you don't want to apologize for it. And I was like, damn. She's just asking Amanda Seales to have accountability. Holy shit.
Wait a minute now.
And Amanda Seales went crazy because that lady, the article didn't cuss her out. The article started off with saying, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get some hate for this because people love Amanda Seales so much. But I'm asking her that she needs to start thinking more before she starts speaking on certain topics. And if she's wrong, why not apologize for it? Again, the lady basically said, I love Amanda Seales. I think she's important, but she needs to reevaluate the way she goes about doing things and think before you speak and start speaking out on some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda Seales spiraled out of control and black people don't love me and I'm never invited to the NCAA stuff. And I don't understand. Because people don't like her.
Exactly. But why don't people like her? There's a reason.
Because she's loud and wrong a lot of times. The lady brought up the fact that she, what was it? Was it the Tamir Rice situation? Did she bring that up in the article where she criticized the mom of Tamir Rice, if I'm not mistaken, about not doing the GoFundMe stuff? She brought another example of just her saying different things about the culture, about certain people, and being wrong and loud and wrong and not going back and apologizing for some of the stuff that she says. And I'm like, she's got a point. Like, you are loud and wrong sometimes. It happens. We all are. It's human.
So. Yeah, it's human to be wrong, but it's a problem. It's a red flag when you can't admit that you're wrong, and I think that's the issue. This is something that I've been kicking around in my head. I feel like, how do I say it? There is an accepted opinion about things that's going on, but you can have your own outside of the box opinion. Mm-hmm. But there is an opinion that most people are just like, shut up, we don't want to hear that, you know. Yeah. And it's kind of weird because the internet is this free speech area where people are saying, hey, share your opinions and share your thoughts. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have the right opinion and thoughts, then you can't have an opinion. Right. That's kind of weird to me.
Yeah, everybody, you know, wants you to be on their side or aligned with what they're saying, and it's just like, yeah. Well, I don't necessarily think that way. I think a different way, or whatever the case may be. So
why is there a problem that somebody has a different way of doing things or a different way to think about something?
And I also feel like Amanda Seales kind of weaponized her fan base to spam this latest
blackness.
Well, no, she was, you know, kind of weaponizing to spam this lady's page and kind of, you know, go at her about this. She was like, I just can't believe like black women don't want to support another black woman, and this is wrong. And it's wrong that you don't support me because
I'm black.
And then at the end of this whole rant in her Instagram live, but you know, guys, the one way you could support me, or, you know, I still have my Patreon. So you guys want to have some more conversation there, you can go to my Patreon and we can have real good discussion. I was like, get the fuck out of here with that bullshit, nigga. You hustling just like everybody else is. You're a carny, just like all the rest of these motherfuckers.
Do you expect a good discussion, a fair discussion coming from her?
I expect Amanda Seales to be Amanda Seales. And that's why it don't have nothing to do with her being a black woman. It ain't got nothing to do. I think a lot of times she talks down to people because she's so educated and she knows so much more. And these are things that she studies. I'm trying to tell you guys what it is. And I'm like, you know, sometimes the delivery is not the way I would like to receive it. And that way, no, I mean, that's I'm just being real. And
no, I'm laughing because of what I was going to say next.
But that's the reason why I turn her off. And I'm just like, that's my option. My option is to just not pay attention. She has a rabid fan base. Hence, because I went to that lady's Instagram and they went in on her. They was like, how dare you? And you don't support black women, and how can you call yourself a black woman when you said this about Amanda Seales? She's done more. And I was like, this is my last thing. And then whatever you got to say, you got to say. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I was like, y'all acting like Amanda Seales is like Martin Luther King out here in these streets. Or she's like Malcolm X. This motherfucker sits on Instagram and just talks about issues that we have with race. I don't see her going to Capitol Hill trying to get no bills passed. I don't see that motherfucker talking to goddamn the Senate about getting shit done. And maybe that's my ignorance because maybe I don't follow her as much. But as much as I know, she sits on Instagram, she points up at comments that white people say or videos that white people say, and that's her platform. Okay, cool. No problem. But like, she's not Martin Luther King, my nigga. Like, calm down. Like, just saying.
Yeah. I think last week I saw a lot of discourse about Amanda Seales versus Candace Owens, and I was just like, I don't care. But what I was going to say was a lot of my problem, I fall victim to this issue that she has, that you can say the right message, but it's the way you convey that message that people will not receive. So sometimes you just don't need to be the person that delivers that message. But you can be the gentle hand to help them process that message from somebody else. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm shifting away from, yeah, you niggas don't understand, to, hey, man, this is what I think about the situation. Mm. Maybe you'll get it a little bit better. But it's definitely, it's all about delivery. If you can't deliver that message in a way that people will receive, then it's like you're not even saying nothing.
I don't even think Candace Owens and Amanda Seales is even on the same playing field.
They not, but that's what I saw.
That's weird.
Speaking of not being able to deliver a message, I listened to the latest episode of the STEM Society.
You mean that show that comes on every Sunday and Wednesday in audio form and then on Monday and Thursday on YouTube? That show? Have you joined the society? Are you a part of something special? Have you been able to grow this thing to break the algorithm chains?
Yep. And this week, you were talking about...
Yep, my white tee.
Hey, it is white.
I made the connection.
I saw it. And this week, you were talking about somebody who should have deleted this today. J. Cole's newest project. I like this episode because I feel where you were coming from, and you are very good at explaining your point of view. I like J. Cole, but why are we kidding ourselves? There is no realm, there is no world, there is no event that J. Cole could ever out-rap Kendrick Lamar. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. I don't understand why people are expecting this to happen. Cole is not going to bring a rabbit out of the hat. He is not going to have a lucky magic monkey paw or something. There is no way he can out-rap Kendrick Lamar.
Well,
on this whole project, he tried. Maybe he tried, maybe not. I don't know. I think, let me go to my notes.
He got down.
What does that mean?
That song, that first and foremost, that diss song, I firmly believe in my heart that was added on last minute. I don't feel like that was a part of the original rollout. The original rollout from Might Delete Later was like a month or so ahead of time, right before or right when he had started doing going on tour with Drake. I feel like that song was added on last minute. That's just me speculating. I always say speculation is way more fun than the truth, but It just didn't have the same energy. The 7-minute drill didn't have the same energy as everything else on that album.
Stop. That's been the critique about J. Cole his entire career. Energy. Like, what are we talking about? That is the reason. J. Cole versus Kendrick should not be the argument. And I'm sorry to say that after a mixtape response or even a mixtape dropping with the song responding to Kendrick, I'm just like, yeah, I don't need to see this. I've had enough. I'm done with it. This is stupid. Let me go through my notes of what I thought about this album. It's kind of funny to hear. It's kind of funny to hear how J. Cole went from no features to having a mixtape full of features mimicking other rappers. I feel like the song with him and Cameron and the sample, I'm ready. He was trying to rap like Joel Santana. And it sounds just like Joel Santana. That's not an issue for that one song. But to me, it's a problem when you're the GOAT MC, when you're the greatest. Maybe it's something that I personally have a problem with, where there's rappers mimicking other rappers, because Game does that all the time. And he has a Jesus Peace album that's really good because he copied a whole bunch of popular albums.
Dramatic was the biggest culprit.
This just don't feel right. This album, I think these are cuts that was supposed to be on the Fall Off or music when he was creating the Fall Off. He's like, man, I got so much good music, I'm going to go ahead and throw this as a mixtape. And he's like, yeah, I might delete this shit later. He could have. I like two songs on it. There's a lot of good music on it, but I'm not going back to this. My two favorite songs are Hide Your Bitch, Hide Your Wife. I like that. That shit's kind of cool. It's a nice summer vibe. It's a nice bop. And then Stealth Mode, man. Stealth Mode, I think Boss, he brings that cohesion that I really like from J. Cole and Boss. When they put music together, it's just something mellow. It's cool to just chill out and vibe with. But the reason I say that these are cuts from his album is because the production is too high. He's got samples in it. He's got stuff that you would have to get cleared to put out there for free.
Oh, you saying they're throwaways from the final album. Okay. Okay, I get what you're saying. You're saying these were just throwaway songs.
Yeah, well, these were songs that probably were intended to be on that album, but he was just like, ah, they ain't make the final cut. So I was like, well, I'm going to put these out as an album. You're not going to use samples and just throw them away.
I think it's a mixtape. Like, it's kind of blurry on what it is.
It was in my DSPs. It's up on an album. I'm calling it an album. Your mama called him Clay. I'm calling him Clay. I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but my next point was, didn't Kendrick Lamar popularize the beat switching mid-song thing in Good Kid, Mad City? I could have sworn that was him. I remember everybody was copying him after that.
He did it early, and he did it first, but the one that people popped off with was from the Drake, Travis Scott. Okay. Astro from the Astro.
Sicko Mode.
Yeah, Sicko Mode. Kendrick was one of the... He was one of the early people to start doing that from when he did
Good Kid,
Where
Man
You
City.
From? Where You From? Yeah. Like,
I remember everybody having a song like that after that album came out. So that's why I was like, he popularized it.
It didn't pop off until people really weren't like, oh my God, until Sicko Mode, though. Like, that's what I'm, but I'm like, I hated that 7-minute drill song.
I'm glad you said that. 7 minutes. I'm missing 4 minutes. Where's my other 4 minutes? Anyway, the first half, it sounds like he's mimicking Mexican OT. That rhyme pattern is not J. Cole. Huh?
It's worse.
I like the rhyme pattern. It's not bad. It's just...
It's a gimmick.
It's a gimmick?
I'm sorry. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
I feel like he's just copying Mexican OT and the cadence of it is not fitting a J. Cole, but I feel like J. Cole was like, what's hot right now? Let me see if I can jump on the beat real quick and attack it. And then when he switched the flow, it got a little bit more boring, and maybe people were saying he sounded more aggressive on the end. I just don't think this is what J. Cole needs to be spending his time doing. What were you going to say?
This to me, and I think I said this on the STEM Society, the song just sounds gimmicky. The beat switch in the middle didn't make sense, especially if you're trying to diss somebody, man. I personally feel like you need the Conductor Williams beat, the second half of the beat, that should have been the whole song. If you try to really diss somebody, that first half sounded like a fucking, I don't know what you was doing with that first half of it. That shit just
I love that first half. That was my favorite part.
Nah. I like the second half more because, again, Conductor came in, more serious beat. I felt like he was being a little bit more more serious in the rhyme patterns with that. I don't know, man. I'm not real big on that beat switch shit. To me, was a gimmick to kind of be like, oh shit, like this nigga really doing it. He's doing off two beats. And I was just like, no, nigga, like you need to, if you gonna diss this nigga, you go and find a fucking beat that's going to work. You don't need a beat switch in the middle of it. That was very Drake-ish to me. Like Drake would pull some shit like that.
I think the gimmick is the diss. Like, what is the beef really? Who's the greatest rapper? Who's the
greatest of all time?
Like, there's no comparison. That's good. What do you mean?
Because, you know, a lot of beef from, like, you know, when we was listening, coming up listening to music, niggas was getting killed in the streets. I'd much rather have, like, and you, well, these young niggas now doing drills and shit like that and, like, talking about what they gonna do on their songs before they do it or actually going through with killing people. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. I would much rather have this kind of, like, I'm the best. No, I'm the best type shit.
But he's not. Like, there is no world where J. Cole is the best. Like, why are people entertaining this ideal? Are we that bored and we're starving for entertainment that we need to say, you know what? J. Cole could probably out-rap Kendrick Lamar. Yep. Mm-hmm. I think so.
You ain't been on Twitter.
Nigga, fuck them niggas on Twitter. They don't know shit. They on Twitter.
But you got it, bruh. You are, now, if anybody knows the art of competition, it's you. I don't think you personally would ever say you second best to anybody in shit that you do, right?
Hey, would you fight The Rock?
No, I ain't crazy.
All right.
But if he did something, but sometimes it come down to circumstances. Now,
sometimes you just gotta get slapped, my nigga.
If you do something to my people, bruh, like if you do something, let's say Rock just slapped my mama, like, God damn.
Damn, what your mama do? Why she get slapped by The Rock?
If Rock did something to my people, man, I gotta. Hey, sometimes you have to catch an L for some shit, man, for your folks.
And that's why he named it. He might delete this later. He should have. What is this? I just don't understand this competition. Like, he's not gonna win this. Like, there is nobody out here that actually honestly think that J. Cole really could out rap Kendrick Lamar. Lyrically, technically, and energy wise, there's nothing there. Kendrick outshines him on every bar, on every measure. There's nothing that a better battle would be Kendrick Lamar versus Big Sean.
That nigga, Big Sean getting everything.
Big Sean versus J. Cole. Actually, that'll probably be more entertaining than this.
Everything Big Sean doing is getting crushed. Like, Mike leaked this later, dropped on when he was pre-selling his book, and that shit got crushed. And then when he dropped his single,
he can't do nothing right.
When he dropping his single, Kendrick's verse dropped. Like, Big Sean can't catch a break right now.
It's okay.
And he trying to get back in it for real. A lot of people feel like Big Sean can't even hang no more. And I was like, if you didn't listen to that Precision song, you are completely wrong, because Big Sean still got it.
I feel you, and I understand that this is the big conversation, but just be honest with yourself. Like, there is no comparison. Like, J. Cole got off on some decent verses, but look at who he was really rapping with. Benny and Royce. I said this before. Benny and Royce both did great jobs with J. Cole, but I don't think J. Cole really outshined them niggas.
I feel like he slid on Benny on what's his name, Caddy, on Caddy, whatever the Caddy song is. I feel like he got him. Even Benny said it. Even Benny was like, he got me.
Okay.
He got me.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I would like to see this come to an end. This is the first time I've seen a rap beef where I'm just like, I'm good. Why?
Now everybody's like, well, Drake's got to respond.
These are the most corniest niggas to be rapping against. I'm sorry. I've been holding this in for like couple days, and I was just like, this nigga really just released a 7-minute song that's not 7 minutes. Shut the fuck up.
Well, no, the 7-minute, you know what a 7-minute drill is, don't you?
No. If you have to release a video explaining your diss song, you failed. And you're like, you gotta listen to the album in order. Nigga, no, you failed. This shit is not compelling. This is not an actual beef. This is not something that you dissing niggas over. You just putting this out because now it looks like you reaching. Now it looks like you trying to get some sales off of this. This is sad.
Mm.
A goat shouldn't have to go through this.
Oh, you talking about J. Cole? I was like, what is he talking about? Like,
if you the quote unquote goat, you shouldn't have this much scrutiny behind it. You shouldn't have to explain yourself. You should be like, I put it out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think attacking a man's catalog was kind of really the
pot calling. That's the dumbest shit you could possibly do. Who the fuck is in his corner? Who is sitting there saying, you know what, nigga?
You attack his catalog. Twitter,
bro. Attack his... I'm these, not. That's these, why my life is peaceful.
Attack his catalog. You don't see these takes I be seeing, man. They're,
why would J. Cole, of horrible. All people, say, hey, man, your catalog is shitty. Nigga, have you seen yours? K.O.D.?
And bro, he said,
K.O.D. might be a decent album, but compared to To Pimp a Butterfly, them shits is terrible. Both of them.
Well, he basically... But see, that's the thing, too.
See,
people
you
don't
gotta
realize,
explain some shit. Why you gotta realize, explain
it? No. This is what I'm saying. Like, when To Pimp a Butterfly came... People forget about For Your Eyes Only and how he basically was copying the same concept of doing a concept album.
You said that's it right. People do forget about For Your Eyes Only. I forgot about it.
But that's what I'm saying. That
was that his last album?
He basically was trying to do the same thing that Kendrick did as a concept album, and it just failed miserably. Like, people,
that's
not
the one
fucking
with Cameron was on the intro song, right?
No, that was The Offseason.
Oh, I forgot about
for
that
y'all,
one too.
For Your Eyes Only was niggas,
oh wait,
niggas was quoting
that was when you on the house
milk and shit. Yeah,
no, that's Forest Hill Drive.
For Your Eyes Only has like a picture inside of a picture. I got the actual like CD, like. It was a picture inside of a picture, and he was...
What songs is on it?
What was it?
Well, you're answering all of my questions. Let's see. J. Cole is not that guy, man. I'm sorry. He's a great rapper. He's a good artist, but this ain't him.
Because he did put a finger in the sky if you want a nigga.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
this if you can see it.
This. I do remember that. Deja Vu, Neighbors. Yeah. Okay, no, that was a decent album. My bad. Dope. Yeah, but then he got songs like Folding Clothes.
Yeah, that's the one where he was like, "Oh, she got me drinking almond milk," and I was like, "You."
I was listening to Neighbors the other day though. That's because that beat's hard.
And then he took Bryson Tiller's beat and did a song. Put your middle finger down, nigga.
We good.
Put your middle finger down, nigga. So
it's straight.
It's interesting. I just feel like he didn't want to do it. I felt like he was forced.
I like that you said he was forced. You was surprised. What I had it in my notes. You said something about being surprised. Your expectation was higher than what you got from it.
Yep.
No, nah, he met my expectations.
I said, oh, shit. I said, yes, finally. And then that shit was like, but I'm not going to hold it. Like, I like the project. There's some songs on there that's good. And he actually has some solid production on there. That fucking Pie song with Ab and Daylight.
Daylight, yeah.
Them niggas they juggling them bars. Nigga. And that nigga with the Cam Reddish.
I think that shit was having so Ab Soul on his album kind of feels like he's trying to what it makes me think is he's trying to get hip hop on his side. Mm-hmm. And during the Civil War, he's like, I'm getting all the good top spitters on my side. I got everybody, you know, the trappers and the high tier rappers. And it's like, bro, you made a name off of not needing features and you got a whole project with features. Get
well,
the fuck out
the
of here.
Offseason, he did that with The Offseason too. And people
yeah,
were just like,
niggas was off that shit too.
So you think Forest Hills was his last great project?
His last? Yes. He got three great projects. His mixtape, the first mixtape, Friday Night Lights. And then his first album. And then Forest Hill Drive. Yeah, that's it. Sorry. I mean, I respect the J. Cole fans out there. I am a fan, but I'm going to just be honest with y'all. This ain't it.
J. Cole this fans ain't it, make it worse, though. Like
this
every
is
time
like
that
nigga
drop. Oh, I'm sorry. Every time that nigga drop, they say, oh, it's a classic album. Like when The Offseason dropped, the first fucking 24 hours, not even 24 hours, most of them niggas was just like, oh, this is a classic. I'm like,
bro, I listened to that album twice.
It just came out.
I don't even remember what songs is on that shit.
That's the one that started off with Cameron.
Yeah, that was probably the best
like,
song.
Oh
on
shit.
There.
And then get off my is get off not get off my dick. God damn it.
It's got 95 South, A Mary, My Life, Applying Pressure, Punching the Clock, 100 Mil, Pride Is the Devil, Let Go My Hand, Interlude, Climb Back, Close, Hunger. Man, bro, this shit sounds trash as fuck.
We'll see.
This was the one he was talking about. I put an M on your head. Now you Luigi brother now. Man, get the fuck out of here,
that
J. Cole.
Like second song? That was the second song?
Get the... Yeah, that's that was the first song. That's the intro.
On the album. That was
that's
the second
the
song.
Intro.
On the album. And niggas was like...
With Cameron.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is the intro.
Nah, bruh. At that time when that came out, I was like, why is so many people gassed that line up? It's not that clever. Nah, bruh. I'm sorry.
But it's interesting. I can't wait to see what comes from this because the second part of We Don't Trust You comes out Friday. And everybody's like, Kendrick might have another verse. He might have a whole song on that shit. And he might come back again. So if he does, that's going to be interesting. Then Drake's...
4 albums in 4 years, Drake, nigga. I can divide.
I hated that.
Wasn't that
with your shit. That pissed me. I'm like, my nigga, that was a Hove line that made sense for Nas because Nas wasn't... No, bro. That don't
and he
count.
Trying to do that, but it doesn't work in this situation because, and bro, yo shit.
All of y'all niggas don't drop in... Most niggas take 3 years to drop their next project, except for Drake. Drake went on a run this past year, dropped 3 within a year, maybe 4 within like a year within each other. But most niggas these days, especially if you're a major artist, none of y'all niggas drop on time. Y'all niggas take y'all sweet time dropping fucking albums.
I feel like that
line was relevant then because Hove was coming out consistently.
Yeah.
This is a consistent clip. And Nas just drag his feet all the time.
That's what makes me wonder who is in J. Cole's camp saying that, yeah, this is a good idea. This discography.
Well,
nigga, if you ain't got nothing else to diss him on, you going after his album output, you about to lose, bruh.
Well, it's again, I want to see what's going to be on We Still Don't Trust You, if Kendrick's going to come out with something
else. I hope it's not anything.
And then everybody's passing around this clip from Jid. Jid was performing at Dreamville Fest last night, and he had a verse, and people were just speculating. It's like, is that against Kendrick, or is that against Baby Keem? Like, and I think Jid was like, y'all niggas is crazy. I love it when Jid responds, be like, y'all ain't got shit else to report about. Like,
even though Jid has said he's willing to go against any of those guys before,
and honestly, I'm not mad. I wouldn't be mad at that. Jid can fucking rap.
See how you just said that? I don't think you've ever said that about J. Cole.
I have said it about J. Cole.
I don't think I've ever heard you say it about J. Cole.
I have said it about J. Cole.
Like,
nah,
bro,
J. Cole can fucking rap. Pricey song. Pricey song.
That first song. No. Delete. That's why it's on a mixtape. Shit. Pricey with
I like
Gucci
the Pricey song.
Drunk.
The fucking Crocodile
you like
Tears.
The features.
The Crocodile Tears was fire.
Crocodile
the Sticks and Stones song. Mm. Pie's the best song on the whole thing to me.
Without J. Cole, yeah.
Nah, that J. Cole verse goes hard on that too. That J. Cole, it's easy to sound second rate when you got niggas like Ab and fucking Daylight.
It's easy to sound second rate because you are
5 entendres in fucking bars and shit. And this nigga comes out with this. He ain't on that level with them niggas.
That's the point. That's the whole issue.
Who is on this level with Daylight and fucking Absol, bro?
Like, I can tell you who's not.
That song is... I like that song because he actually was rapping on that one too.
Again, but this is the problem. Oh, he actually was rapping. Okay, I'm glad you admitted it.
He raps on a lot of his shit. He can rap, bro. Like, that nigga can fucking rap.
I'm not saying his skill isn't there, but he ain't high quality rap. Like, I hate that I have to be the fan that breaks the news to niggas out here. Like, y'all, bro, this is not the guy. Just being honest, he's not that guy. Like, why are we trying to set him up for this? This is nigga. Anyway.
I think a lot of people like it because he's more, he's not as flashy as maybe Drake, and maybe feels a little bit more pure than what the, because everybody outside of you, but everybody's standard is Drake. That's what everybody's standard is. Like, Drake's the pinnacle, and he ain't that. Like, he ain't flashy. He don't do dumb shit. Like, he kind of keeps it more hip hop than what Drake would or what some of these other rappers would. I think that's what puts a lot of people on his side too.
Okay, what should J. Cole do next to move the needle?
As far as like his career or his next
just
album?
Just move the needle of just him being considered a GOAT. How could he move up a little bit higher?
That's interesting, because he's...
How could he outshine Kendrick? Let's narrow it down a little bit more. What could he possibly do to make everybody be like, damn, J. Cole is that guy? You're biased?
I've said it on the show also. I'm biased. Like, ain't much you could do to outshine Kendrick Lamar. It's just...
Okay. Kendrick's, how could he outshine Drake?
Oh, just rap. Just actually do a hip-hop album.
So do you think J. Cole could rap better than Drake?
Hands down, yes.
I think so, too. I started laughing as I said it.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, and I know Drake can rap, but... He ain't J. Cole rapping.
Yeah, he ain't.
He stopped that a long time ago.
I wish there was a power level meter. I just there needs to be a visual representation of how low J. Cole's level is compared to his competition. And I'm a guy who respects J. Cole. I respect his pen. I understand it, but just this not it. You need to gracefully bow out of this and keep making music.
We can't. No, bro, you can't do that, man. Like,
he's finna get his ass stomped.
Sometimes you got to take L's, bro, to be still be a competitor, though, bro.
Do you want J. Cole to have an ether?
Who going him ether somebody or somebody ether
no,
him?
No, Kendrick is going to ether J. Cole if he ever tries.
It helped Hope. Okay. It helped Jay. Even though Nas killed that nigga, and I'm a Jay fan. Right.
This is my last thing I'm going to say about this. If I had to strategize my diss records and my whole movement in this situation, I think J. Cole is going about it the wrong way. But what's going to happen next is now Kendrick's on the defensive. He has to come back and combat everything that he did in this 7-minute song. How hard is that? You're talking about my discography. I have a Pulitzer Prize. I have a Grammys, my nigga. Like, what can you possibly say that's going to make me be like, oh, my God, you got me?
The streets, that's corny, though.
Pulitzer How is prize that corny?
That's what the streets are saying, which is...
Oh, and my bad. I also have sales to back it up. The only one that I don't have sales, huge sales, is Mr. Morale. But now I have PG Lang. So I have a vested effort that I need to go out here and put my foot to your ass. He could drop 3 control verses back to back to back on J. Cole, and nobody would even think about this dude.
Niggas saying the control verse was gassed up.
Then why did everybody respond to it?
Like, I heard a prominent podcaster say this, and he was so true. He was like, you kind of forget that Jay Electronica was on that song. Like, you kind of, and you know, Jay Electronica is the god or the whatever the fuck that shit is. Like, people, that nigga.
Again, I wish we had power levels for niggas rapping.
But people said the control verse was gassed up. And I was like, there's no way. He named. My whole thing is this, and this is the problem I've been having with these niggas beef for so long. Put a name on the bullet, man. Y'all niggas need to stop with this subbing bullshit and just start saying, this nigga right here is trash. And that's all it is to it. This nigga can't rap. This nigga best work. Drake, your best work was a light pack, Drake. You suck. Y'all niggas is giving me backhanded compliments.
I think that was kind of corny, too.
What?
Kendrick coming out dissing them niggas. But, I mean, I get why he did it, but...
It was a response.
This none of this stuff holds weight to me. And I'm so just like, man, wish you niggas would stop. But half of hip hop is bored. So that's what we got to do. We got to do beef.
Yeah, I mean, this is way, but I mean, honestly, man, this is better than the alternative, which is niggas in the streets doing street shit. I like that three non-street niggas are beefing, and that's what everybody's excited about, instead of like niggas dying or you know, just some real, because a lot of time here, you know, in the last few years, the biggest thing has been street shit going on and these niggas riding and doing videos on other niggas' graves and going to Old Block and all this other bullshit.
Smoking packs.
And it's just like, we actually got some rapping niggas that are not street niggas going at each other. It's kind of funny.
Just battle. Like, they have a lead. They can go to URL. They could go to
Smack. Them niggas wouldn't make it in that shit.
Exactly. So why are we expecting them to do it?
Them niggas would get eaten up. It would be Joe Budden all over again.
Oddly enough, I watched that the other day.
I did too.
He actually made it through the whole thing. He just got frazzled.
He made it through, but it felt like he was like, I'm on album rap against this battle rapping. Like,
yeah, he wasn't ready for this. You're going to me now. Like, okay.
You motherfucker. I'm like,
and when his punchlines didn't work, he just like, you could see him just visually not taking it serious up until he said, if you ever beat women, I'll put my hands on you.
Yeah.
Then he was broken after that.
Yeah.
He threw the mic. Yeah, there was a lot of like microphone issues. I think that was the main problem. The technicality. There was some technical issues. They didn't want to use the mic that Sway had.
Most battle raps have technical issues.
What?
They'd be in a warehouse, my nigga, with bad sound.
And see, man, I'm finna go on a tangent. That is part of the issue with battle rap. Live battle rap like that, when you're trying to scale it up, doesn't work. You have to have it confined. You have to have it intimate. You need the crowd around all tight and everybody yelling, and then the crowd in the background saying, oh snap, did you hear that? Mm-hmm. He cooking your ass. And that just didn't happen in that situation, but it was cool. But I would like to see that between a Kendrick and a J. Cole. But
it would be like Empire, my nigga. You ever seen that battle on Empire? That's what it would be. We don't see that. Now, let these niggas just record tracks and fuck it. Anyway. Or just go listen to Rock Marcy's Marciology.
How you feel about Tiny Desk?
It's oversaturated now. It's just,
I watched Juvenile's Tiny Desk. And I watched Big Sean Tiny Desk. And I was like, the crowds don't fit the artists. This is gentrified rap.
So they just started here recently bringing people in to be the crowds. Typically, it would just be the staff there, and it would be just a regular Tiny Desk thing. But somebody got the bright idea to say, oh, let's go across the street to the college and bring the college kids in here to and let's get some real crowd reaction. It's just like, well, have y'all asked what the college across the street likes?
Yeah. And then I do like that they have a live band version of these songs, because that makes it sound so much better. But it doesn't work with that crowd. Like, I was watching that, and then I started watching 85 South's show, where they have the 80 Vibes. And I think I like that better than Tiny Desk, but it's not enough people going to them.
I like the whole thing that the 85 South that niched out for themselves. They got a whole little universe, and it's amazing. Yeah. And people, I don't know why people aren't talking about it more, because they do actually put a lot of up and coming artists on that 80 Vibes, and 85 Vibes, I think it's called, or something like that. But them niggas is like making some shit happen over there. Ain't nobody saying shit. They just like, where's Charlamagne? Where's Black Effect Network? Another bullshit.
Charlamagne the God here. Yeah.
Did you watch, this is my last thing. This ain't about music. This is more of a, did you watch the Eric Adams interview on Breakfast Club?
Nope. Because
he was getting his ass roasted. It was a constituent there who just lit his ass up. Mm. It was hilarious.
All right. So you started the show talking about DEI. I feel like I need to give Eric Adams a little bit of leeway and an apology.
Mm.
He is the mayor of New York City. He's not the governor. The governor is a white lady, and she's doing a lot of fucked up shit that's causing a lot of these issues. And he is the fall guy. So tell me about this interview.
The lady who was there was a lawyer and one of his constituents, but she was basically talking about the concerns of like crime in New York City. They touched on the migrant situation. She's like, like a huge percentage of your people who live in New York are not, don't feel safe here. Why are you not doing anything about that?
And he was just like,
well, I mean, can't do guns in New York now.
Plastic guns, ghost guns.
But they were talking about those issues. He kind of backtracked on some of those things. Kind of like, well, and he did say the same thing you just said as far as like they went into the migrant situation. He was like, well, it's illegal for me to get them jobs and it's illegal for me to have them work.
They doing it though. The fuck out of here.
He said that's against, he said, go watch the interview. He said that's against the law. I would make them work here in New York, but if I do, then it's against the law. It's against the rules and I can't do that.
How funny is it? How funny is it that you're now putting a stand on what is the law when these niggas is here illegally? Yeah, they won't put them up in the hotel and nigga, fuck all of y'all.
He said, my brothers and sisters throughout the United States in Chicago, where else are the migrants at? Chicago, and he said, whatever other place
they're. The whole United States.
He said, they going, but they're. Then he said it was a difference between, I didn't even look that shit up. He said it's the difference between sanctuary cities.
Sanctuary cities, yes.
And what was the other term he used?
Non-sanctuary cities. Back
and
watch.
He said it's a difference. And he said they're not a sanctuary city, they're the other one. I said, what, nigga? You got up there on your soapbox and said y'all was a sanctuary city in their fucking speech?
Yeah.
It is one of the. If you get opportunity, go watch it. It's one of the best roasts. He got to the point where it was a woman, and he just stopped looking at it. He just started looking at Charlamagne and started speaking to Charlamagne.
The nigga said, help me.
He said, I want to hear what you got to say, bitch. I'm talking to Charlamagne about this.
Look, at the end of the day, this is, again, one of them situations where I was ahead of the pack. I was talking about this shit months before it became a big problem. I was like, this is something that people need to focus on. I said it was going to probably become a big voting topic, and it is. I don't have a problem with illegal immigrants. I have a problem with our government helping out the illegal immigrants when Americans are struggling. Send their asses home. That is not wrong for me to say. My problem is my tax dollars is helping out these motherfuckers. And there's people sleeping on the street right now, facing eviction right now, and they ain't got no type of support.
It's against the law. I can't make them work.
Why are you picking and choosing? Oh, they woke up.
He said, I can't make it work. It's against the law.
You know what this is really doing, right? You know what? This is a big global. Okay, here I go. Here's my Alex Jones conspiracy theory. This is a big globalist plan. The globalists are sending all the immigrants to America so they can drive down wages. Then people will get paid less. And then when you go to get a job, your college degree means nothing. It's basically. This is a great way to devalue the American workforce. As a member of the union, I would be highly upset if contractors hired these ununionized, skilled workers to do the same job that I do pay them $7 when they paying me upwards, whatever my salary is. So it's not fair to the American people who have done everything the right way. They've gone, they've strived, they've sacrificed everything we could do. We've tried. We've cut back so much shit. We've cut corners to this motherfucker looks like a circle. And now we got this new competition coming in. And it's like, okay, nobody's focusing on stopping this. Oh, okay, so now I'm wrong. I'm racist because I don't want these people here challenging my job, taking away more of my resources. No, yeah. It's not me. It's bigot. You. And that's why you joke about it, but this is going to be a huge issue, and it looks like, unfortunately, Trump is going to be the next president.
And he's going to get all them motherfuckers out of here.
He's saying the right thing. Like, how hard is it for a Democrat to be like, you know what? This ain't right. They need to go back.
He's going to get ICE up to standards. When's the last time you heard about ICE? Ain't heard shit.
It's been a while. Nigga, I ain't got no ice in my cup.
That nigga said,
like, get, these niggas getting fired.
That nigga said, get ice on the phone right now and get them niggas trained.
Get we ice on the phone.
We about to get these motherfuckers out of here. Get our country the back.
The funny thing is, I was on Indeed a couple weeks ago, and I was just looking around, seeing what my options are. Indeed.
Oh, I was like, what the fuck was that?
A job website.
I know where it, niggas. It sounded like you said something else.
Yeah, I was on Indeed a couple of months ago, and they had Border Patrol agents. They have a high demand for those guys, and they have a signing bonus. Like, you can get $10,000 signing bonus being a Border Patrol agent.
Well,
I looked at it, but
you get your charge. Like the military.
And see, this is the other issue, because there other red states are starting to make it. They're starting to create laws where you can stop those types of people and search them and ask for their papers. And that is a slippery slope. I don't like that, because now you racially profiling motherfuckers just because they might be from a certain descent. Now you can pull them over and ask them to show you those papers. Nah, that's not cool. Because what if they said that it's illegal Chinese, Africans, immigrants, you know, it's all types of people. Uh-oh.
He said, Eric Adams said there's another, what nationality the migrant is in New York. He said, y'all don't say nothing about them.
Albanians?
Huh?
Albanians?
It might be. It might be Albanians, or it might be closer to the whiter side of a,
They kind of light. They're like Syrians.
But he was like, why are you guys all talking about the Hispanic migrants that are over here? And we got a whole nother migrant problem with these people. I don't hear y'all complaining about that.
Because we basically know now we get racially profiled, pimped up, and hold down. That's what Kanye said.
If you get a chance, because I think it's only
40. I don't want to. Stop. I have chances. I don't need it.
It's hilarious. It's only 45 minutes. Just take some bits and pieces. I know it's sectioned off. Just watch a couple bits and pieces and watch this nigga backtracking in. You can see him get mad at this woman who is literally just like, these are the problems, Mayor. And he just like, bitch. He wanted to say bitch real bad. So that's why he started looking at Charlamagne halfway through the fucking interview. He was just like, brother Charlamagne, we are trying to help. Dude, you trying to stop all these problems. One thing he leans on, which is probably what saves him. I grew up in these streets of New York. I know how it's been. I was hanging with the wrong crowd back in them days too. I'm from these streets.
You know who this sound like? This sound like Joe Biden and Corn Pop. You ever heard the story of Corn Pop? Corn Pop was a bad dude. He used to carry a chain. Let me see if I can find it. I grew up in these mean streets.
Oh, that's something that one thing Eric Adams gonna do, he gonna fall back on. He grew up in these New York streets. He know how to. I know how to hustle. Then he started going using his drug reference. I know how much you just get that nickel bag and flip that nickel bag around. You gotta step on it, all this.
Oh, so now niggas gotta sell drugs. Oh, okay. Good day.
Oh man, that was good. That made my fucking day. Cause I was like, I want to see what this nigga got to say. I was like, why is he on a Breakfast Club?
Yeah.
When it wasn't what I thought it was. That lady.
It wasn't what she was hoping, huh?
It felt like they surprised him too. Cause Charlamagne was like, good to see you here, Mayor. Glad, we got the mayor of New York here, Breakfast Club. We got one of your constituents over here. And she just looked at him. He was like, God damn. He
said, man.
You nigga set me up.
We have a technical difficulty. We have a technical difficulty.
I had to wait on it to stop because we have a very janky podcast host. That's all my fault. I decided to pick these guys and they're terrible. But anyway, if you're watching this, that means one of two things. Either we've gone way too far on the podcast and we've been taken off of Spotify, or we're just having some technical difficulties without having the full podcast up. And you probably already guessed it. It's the second one. We had a full damn near 3-hour episode show, and it just kind of got whisked away. A lot of the show does not have Shogun there, and we need Shogun to make it a full episode of the Government Name Podcast. So with that being said, I just want to tell you, we apologize. Sorry that this had to happen. I know we didn't put out content last week, and then I know this week you guys were expecting a very epic show. Hopefully you guys enjoyed what you got today. Again, we just, all the footage, a lot of the footage got, it's gone. I couldn't recover it. I couldn't get it back. So with that being said, thank you guys for continuing to support us. Thank you guys for being there through everything that we do. I appreciate all of it. Shogun does as well. We will make sure we have the footage, the pod, everything that you guys are looking for from Government Name next week. I will catch you guys later.